Tonight, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5, we see the picture in Ephesians chapter 5 as the church will become a bride, or the bride of Christ. And as you look at this chapter, the chapter begins with the words to follow, or to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Be you imitators of God as beloved children." Now, Paul the Apostle has been talking to us about our Christian walk. We've learned how we have to sit in Christ Jesus. And now we're learning how to walk behind our Father, pretending not only, you know, that we not only know Him personally, but we come to that place now where we don't become independent of God, but we become dependent of God. So when you look at a little child, you look at my little granddaughters, especially my three-year-old, and I watch her, you know, and you can see so many traits of her mother and also of her father. Why? Because little children mimic you. They watch you. And they'll say, "Man, you're just like your mom, or you're just like your dad." And sometimes you say, "No, I'm not," you know. Maybe you don't want to associate like that. But listen, we have to be mimickers of God. We have to become like our Father, especially when it comes to Christianity. And so when Paul is talking to the church, he's talking to them about his love that he has for us, how we are to be walking in love. Like, for example, in 1 John 4:8, he says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Think of how many Christians today, they say they are Christians, but yet they don't love their wife or their husband or their nephews or nieces or even their enemies or friends. Someone does something to you and all of a sudden you get into that position where, hey, I'm not going to forgive them. And if you can't forgive them, then how can God forgive you for what you've done? It's very important that we understand that he who does not love does not know God personally. You're deceiving yourself if you don't have love. Why? Because God is love. And the word that he uses here is agape in the Greek. The love that always forgives, forgets, never points a finger, never brings it up again what you've done in the past, but it's erased. It bears all things, hopes all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, perfect chapter on God's love. And then he says this, because this is really important. As he's writing in 1 John 1:5, he says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." He's going to be talking to us about his love and how we have become light in the kingdom of God. Then he says again, that God is truth, therefore we walk in truth. In 1 John 5:6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by the water and the blood, as it is in the Spirit, who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. No deception, no lie in Jesus Christ. And then we are to walk, he'll tell us, in wisdom. In chapter 5 of Ephesians 15, 16, and 17, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for your lives." There is so much in this chapter. Now, in order to grasp what Paul is trying to share, because he's teaching us about our walk in Christ Jesus, let's go back just a little bit in chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 25. That's where the chapter is actually broken. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 25, Paul has been talking to us in chapter 4 about our walk as believers. And he's been talking about the new man from the old man. This is the way you used to be, but this is the way now you should be. This is how you ought to walk. This is how you ought to behave. You know, when you talk about, you know, use your own name, the old so-and-so. Yeah, the old person is no longer that way anymore. Yeah, there are times that we would like to go back to our old personalities or our old sins. Why? Because we're constantly tempted by Satan. But as a child of the light, as a child of truth, as a child of God, God desires that I really take upon myself not only to walk by faith, but to be obedient to the word of God. If I am to enjoy my walk with Jesus Christ. It says in the book of Genesis chapter 5, 21 through 24, that there was a man by the name of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. The first man to be raptured in the Old Testament. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it says that the reason that Enoch was taken is because Enoch pleased his God. He pleased his God. He walked with God. He enjoyed the presence of God in his life. That's what Paul is trying to get to each one of us individually. Now the reason he's saying that is because as we go back, we begin to see that Paul the Apostle in chapter 4, verse 25, is talking about the things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Sins that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And the word grieve in the Greek there is the word pain. Sin always brings pain to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He has feelings. So whenever you're actually communicating with another person, and you become angry, and you want to retaliate, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever you're talking to someone, and you're jesting, and you're saying dirty things or dirty jokes, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, it's not only saying dirty jokes, it's listening to them grieves the Holy Spirit of God too. That's what Paul says. Look how he begins in verse 25. He says, therefore, putting away lying, each one of us should speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You see, we're not any longer to start lying or cheating in any way. But whenever we converse with someone, you know, there's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. And if you do lie, you need to retract and go back and apologize and repent and say, you know what? I stretched the story. I'm sorry. But it wasn't the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. If you don't, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're not being honest with yourself and with others. And if you're not being honest with God and yourself, how then can God really bring His blessings upon us as He wants to use our lives? You see? God doesn't put you on the shelf, you put yourself on the shelf. Why? Because we do things that are not pleasing to God. Things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit of God is lying. Secondly, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. You see? Paul says here that it's very important that we forgive our mate, our wife or our husband or our children or your boss or your employees or even your enemies before the sun goes down. Making sure every day of your life that you're not going to bed with hardness of heart and being unforgiving. Why do I say that? Because even in the Sermon on the Mount, in the sixth chapter of Matthew, when he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching about prayer, the attitude of prayer. And when he gives us a model prayer, he says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You see? Even as God forgave you, you need to forgive. And yet, think of how many people in this room right now, including myself, have loved ones and have friends that maybe we have hurt and have been unforgiving, or they have hurt us and they have been unforgiving towards us. If I have someone in my family that doesn't like me and they're unforgiving towards me, I want to make sure one thing, that I continue to love them and to be forgiving towards them. Why? Because if I don't, I'm just like them. And there's a difference. If they're non-believers, there's a greater difference. And if they're believers, shame on them for not forgiving another Christian. And this happens all the time in the church. Mothers and fathers don't forgive their children. Children don't forgive their parents. Nephews and nieces, friends and loved ones, grandparents and grandfathers, uncles and aunts. And it's so sad that, you know, Christmas times come or whatever holiday comes, or even during the week, that it's been now months and sometimes years that people haven't gotten together because of something stupid they did to one another. It's dumb. Things that break up a family because of unforgiveness. And if they don't want to forgive you, hey, put them in the hands of the Lord. But make sure that your heart is right before the Lord. Why? Because you may be going home to the Lord tonight. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. You want to make sure that your heart and your attitude is right before the Lord and before people. So no one can blame you for anything. That's why Paul brings about all these things here. What else does he bring about that grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Stealing from your employee or stealing from your employers. You see? The employee or the employer. Or stealing from your parents or from anybody else. Or stealing from God. Yes, stealing from God. I read a new book that just came out, and it's an incredible chapter. The second chapter of the book is just incredible because he talks about stewardship. And he goes on to give statistics today that only 3% of the church of Jesus Christ are only 3% people in the church tithe to their church. And the reason that people don't give to the Lord, listen why he says, and this is so true, is because people are in debt to their credit cards, in debt to their own bondage of their own finances. And you know what the whole chapter is about? That whatever God gives to you, give it away. It's not yours. It's not yours. And if you don't give it away, guess what? He'll take it away. You can't keep it. He'll take it from you. And it's so sad because in the second chapter, he also makes a proclamation that most people have 6 to 7 credit cards and they're in bondage for the next 25 years to pay the high interest. And you know how much people charge?
there are people that have their credit cards up to $70,000. Think about that. Stealing from God, but got to pay my credit card. Sad. I would not want to be in anybody's shoes that is not giving to God what belongs to God. Because one day you're going to be judged for your stewardship. Your finances, your Bible reading, your sharing your faith with others. Everything that we do as God's children one day is going to be revealed in the fire. And the fire will really reveal it, whether it's good or not. And if it's phony, it's going to burn up. And the sad thing about it is that you're not going to be able to receive that great reward that God has for you. And what you're doing today is you're not really banking in God's bank of eternity. So there will be nothing in the bank of God in eternity when you don't give to God what belongs to God. It's sad. But that's stealing. Stealing from God. What else? Well, he says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you also were sealed under the day of redemption. And let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here it is, the positive. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, listen, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus also forgave you. How much did he forgive you and me? All. Everything. Everything that I have ever done, he forgave me. And now Paul gets into chapter 5, continuing. Watch what he says. Therefore, because of all these things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God, be imitators of God as dear children. Or be you followers. The word in Greek is be you mimics. Mimic the Lord God. God is our example for what? For forgiveness. God is our example for love. God is our example in everything that we give to God. God gave his only begotten Son for you, for me. Be you imitators. Mimic Jesus Christ in everything that he does. And then he says this, and also, I want you to know one thing. I want you to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Notice that. Interesting. Now, you know what's amazing? The word love is agape. But then notice that we should be walking as examples of believers, not only in his love, but reminding ourselves that this great love that God had for me in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That this love that God gave for me was the example. Notice, becomes an offering of what? An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. In the Old Testament, every sacrifice was a dead sacrifice. They would kill the lamb, bleed it, cut it up into little pieces, and then barbecue half of it, and the other half would go to the priest. And then the actual smoke or the aroma, I don't know if you've ever been, if you're up in the mountains, or I even have been driving, you know, the road and I can smell In-N-Out 2 miles away. You know, the smell of aroma of meat, you see? And what God is saying that, you know, in the Old Testament when the sacrifice was burned and the actual smoke would go up in Jerusalem,
God would smell that as a sweet smelling sacrifice, which means what? He was pleased. Now, in the New Testament, we don't burn sacrifices, we don't kill them. But what do? In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says what? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you, brethren, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service unto God. And be you not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. For this is God's perfect will for your lives. You see? We now present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Why? For what God did for me. He died. He gave himself for me. So now I give myself to him because he loves me so much. And when I give myself to him, I give myself to him as a sweet sacrifice. Notice, as a sweet offering, aroma to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my life before him. That's what he desires, and that's what he's pleased for. If we don't do that, now Paul says, these are the things that will destroy you. Number one, verse 3, notice. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be even named among you, check this out, as is fitting Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to the church. He's talking to practicing Christians that are still practicing these sins. Fornication, what is that? The word pornea in the Greek. We get our English word pornography too. Here, the word pornea or fornication, it covers all kinds of illicit sexual behavior, from homosexuality to child molestation to adultery and to being actually in a sexual encounter before getting married. Anything that has to do with sex. No fornicators will inherit the kingdom of God. Notice what he's saying. If you are a real child of God, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, child pornography or child molestation should not be in your life any longer. And yet, I guarantee it, there are people here in Calvary Chapel that are living together without marriage, having sex. There are people that are living in adultery. Someone at work. Someone you met somewhere else. And yet people can sit in a service and hear the word of God and not be convicted and continue in their sin. Something is wrong. If there's no repentance, something is wrong. It tells me one thing, that your heart is pretty hard. And that you're not really listening. It's going into one ear and it's going out the other side. It should be going into your ear and it should be going down into your heart, pricking your heart, bringing it to great conviction, where at the end of the service you would want to repent immediately. Because if you don't, you'll go to hell if you die. He's going to tell you in a moment that. He's talking to Christians. Listen. Not only fornication, but uncleanness. What do you mean? Idolatry. The sin of the worship of other gods. It can be your car. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be your job. It could be money. Anything that takes God's place in your life, it's idolatry. You worship the gym, worship your body. What is the most important thing in your life? That's your God. That's your God. The thing that dominates over your life, the thing that rules over your life, the thing that you spend more time in, that's your God. Idolatry. Thirdly, covetousness.
What do you mean? Well, covetousness here, he says what? He says that this is an actual thing where not only is greediness, but it's always wanting something that somebody else has. Always wanting something else. Never satisfied. Never satisfied with your clothes. Never satisfied with your car. Never satisfied with anything. So I think it's important that we take heed to what he's saying, because he's bringing about what the church should be like. We are the church of Jesus Christ. All these things not only grieve the Holy Spirit of God, all these things will take you away from walking in God's love. How can you say you love God when you're walking in darkness? You're not in the light. You see? What else does he say? Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Notice that he's talking about dirty jokes, double meaning jokes. You're at work and somebody comes up to you and tries to tell you a dirty joke, and you stand there and you listen to it, you have partakers with them. Instead, you should say, excuse me, you know what? I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry. I'm a Christian. Or walk away. But to stay there and to sit there and to partake of it and to laugh with them is to be one with them. Paul said that in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 32. For the wrath of God is poured upon who? Those that practice unrighteousness and not righteousness. What else does he say? Listen. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather, hey, give thanks. You see? Give thanks to God for everything he's done. And here is the warning. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Whoa. Who's he talking to? Christians. That's why I disagree with eternal security. I disagree with the Calvinist. Because there are so many scriptures concerning the doctrine of abiding in Jesus Christ, that we are to abide daily with Jesus Christ. It's not weekly or monthly or yearly. Hey, I never worry about losing my salvation. You know why? I'm secure in Christ. Why? Because I am abiding in Him, walking in Him. When you're not really walking with God and you're compromising and you're walking in the flesh, guess what you're going to do? You're going to compromise your position. And what are you going to do? You're going to come to a place where you're going to become argumentative to defend your position for what you're doing. And Paul warns us in the next verse, because they had it in the early church too. Listen. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You hear the warning? The warning he just gave to you. He says, don't believe people that will say, hey, you know what? You're a fornicator. You're a liar. You're doing all these things. Don't worry. You'll go to heaven. God will forgive you. Uh-uh. Sorry. The only way God will forgive you if there's true repentance and a true change of heart. The word repent means to change of mind, change of heart, which means you're going one direction and you turn on 180 degrees, turn this way and go the opposite way now. You're not continuing in the sin. And yet today, in the church of Jesus Christ, there are so many fornicators, so many liars, so many adulterers, so many homosexuals, lesbians, child molesters. covetousness, all these things are the signs of the flesh and not of the spirit. And Paul said, for this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. I don't care how many times you've gone to the altar. I don't care how many times you read the Bible. I don't care what your family tells you. If you're in that position and you're continuing in your sin, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says. What else? Well, verse 8, look what he says. And here in verse 7, he says, therefore, because of all this, do not be partakers, notice, with them. The word partaker implies here to have a common place with them. It is often translated as fellowship. Do not fellowship with them. Remember 2 Corinthians 6:14? Be you not unequally yoked together with a non-believer? What fellowship do you have with him now that you're in the light? How can you fellowship with darkness? You can't. You can't. And if you are, you're in sin. Now, he's not saying that if you're working or you're going to school or you're somewhere else in the store that you're not going to have any part with a non-believer, because we live among non-believers. What he's talking about is that intimate fellowship. Being with them and doing what they're doing. You see? Instead of standing for what is right. And say, hey, you know what, man? I've been with some of my friends, non-believers. And when it comes to drinking and the dirty joke, whatever, hey, you know what? It's time for me to move on. See you guys later. I'm gone. But for me to stay and to partake and have a can of beer or talk dirty and see what they're doing, guess what? I'm partaking with them and I will have no part in the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said. I think we have to be very careful today. Too much compromise in the church today, especially concerning these sins. Verse 8, for you were once in darkness, but now, notice, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. First of all, he said what? Walk in love. Now he tells you, walk as children of the light. Secondly, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and all truth. Notice that. The fruit of the Spirit is not fornication. It's not lying, not robbing, jesting, all these things. The fruit of the Spirit is what? All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Doing what God says, being obedient to the Word of God. And doing what else? Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you find that out? Read the Bible. Study it. Meditate upon these things that are going to enhance your walk with Jesus Christ. And check this out. This is so cool. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, look what he says, underline this, expose them. Expose them. What does he mean by that? Reprove them. Don't sit there and agree with them. Say, that's wrong. The Bible says that. Show them in the scripture where it's wrong. Why? For it is a shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You don't do it publicly, even in secret, it's a shame. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever is manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise, you from the dead, as Christ will give you light. Now, this is not an Old Testament scripture. It's literally kind of a citation or an oral tradition given to us by Paul in that culture to the church. And check this out. Seeing then, here it is, that you walk in love, walk in the light. Thirdly, walk circumspectly, or literally, walk wisely, carefully, or diligently before the Lord. Notice why, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, buying back the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Look around you. Redeem the time. The Lord is at hand. He's coming. Everything is becoming evil around us. Therefore, do not be unwise, but do what? Here's the purpose for our lives. But understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. What is the will of the Lord? To love Him and to obey Him. To stay away from these things. They will bring you down and damn your soul. God desires that we would be consecrated to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this evening to thank You so much for Your love, for Your grace, for Your mercies. And Lord God, we pray this evening that these words that were spoken tonight through Your word, Father, would be convicting to our own souls. And that the darkness would be exposed tonight, Lord God, in our lives. Father, I pray for Your people, which are called by Your name. And Lord, we ask You that You would deal with Calvary Chapel, Lord. With this church, with my life, with the life of the people here, Lord. Help us, God, to become holiness unto You, Lord. Father, help us not to be in a place where we become apathetic. But Lord, help us to pray for our non-believer families, our non-believer friends. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst to know You and to know Your word. And Lord, we pray that You would please lead us and guide us so that we can become obedient to Your word. And I don't know who's here tonight, but if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you right now, if you want to receive His love and grace and mercies and forgiveness, I'm going to ask you, whether you're young or old, male or female, to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle, to walk down the aisle, and come up here to the front and stand right here, and I'm going to pray with you the sinner's prayer. You don't have to come. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit as God speaks to your heart. If you're not a Christian, and you want to become a Christian, I'm going to ask you to get up and come now. As we worship, you get up and come, and I'm going to pray for you. Come now. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You to cleanse me, wash me by Your blood. And I receive You as my Lord, my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.